You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education. I'm Diggory Waite and I'm joined, as always, by accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, this is the podcast in which our listeners, you lovely people listening right now, message us in your questions and conundrums regarding sex and relationships.
Conundrums.
We do our best. Conundrums, yeah.
Conundrums.
What? Is that what I... What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
I mean, it just sounds like Paul Sinha ought to be saying it. You know,
yeah, some sort of game show.
Yeah.
Paul Sinha, formerly of this podcast.
Yeah.
So go and check out his episode. Very early doors. Is that like episode 3? Episode 4?
It was quite early on, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and
it
conundrum
really
sounds like countdown, doesn't it? Doon, 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 doon. We'll get copyright done.
We will get copyrighted if you keep doing that, because that was such a bloody good impression. All right. Well, anyway, listen, you guys send us in your questions. We'll have a weird little chat about the word conundrum at the beginning, and then we'll do our best to answer them. You can send in your questions via our anonymous Google form, which is in the bio of this episode. Go and check out the bio. You'll see the Google form in there, the link to it, or our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
We haven't moved to Threads yet, despite what we talked about last episode.
I have.
Mum has. Go check her out. What are you, at Kate Campbell? Or is that the swimmer, Kate Campbell?
Oh, my God. I get so much for the swimmer, Kate Campbell.
So just explain to people what the deal is here. Kate Campbell is, she's a professional swimmer, right?
Yeah, Australian. Mm. But there's also a novelist called Kate Campbell that writes pot boilers and spells it the same and everything. So, yeah. You know, sometimes, I mean, if Kate Campbell the swimmer does something amazing, some sort of win, some swim, then I get loads of new followers the next day.
Yeah.
And then they all disappear
slowly again. Drop off. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, it's really funny.
You know my story about this. Once I was on a train and the train just docked. It just set off and I was like, this is brilliant. And it just immediately docked. So we were stuck on this train. Anyway, after an hour, they released us from this train. We got off it because no one could hear us on the train. Be like, we're on the train. We're stuck on the train. Anyway, they interviewed me and they had to be like, we need to write this down. And they said, what's your name? And I said, Diggory Waite. And they said, sorry? And I said, Diggory Waite. And they said, you're not related to the Diggory Waite that works on this train line, are you? And I said, sorry, there's another Diggory Waite that not only exists, but is on this very train line. Mm. Anyway, I found him on LinkedIn. The man is an absolute machine. And he is a wonderful example of someone working their way up through the ranks. You know, he started as like a booking clerk and worked his way all the way up to the top, managing entire stations and rail networks. So good on you, Diggory Waite.
So you'll be running Hattrick next thing you know.
No, I don't think... You know what? I look at his LinkedIn and go, if I had a shred of what you do, of your determination and grit, then perhaps we'd be on an even keel, but we're not. Anyway.
What a shame. Well, I'm not going to start swimming anytime soon or writing pot boilers.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not going to, I mean, listen, the only trains I'm running are the ones on my Brio set.
Oh, bless.
I know.
Other train sets are available.
quite right. Let's have this, because maybe there's a way that we can shoot ourselves to stardom by following this person's advice. This person's messaged in with some show feedback on the anonymous Google form, and they've said, more episodes. Education is key. The biology of sexual intercourse. The fundamentals, please.
Now, that's interesting, actually, yeah. Because basically, when people are talking about the biology, they generally go on about the human sexual response cycle. And
what's that?
It's what happens to your body when you're aroused, really. Mm. And it's about the route to orgasm. And the male route to orgasm is pretty straight up. Mm-hmm. And down. Yeah. And the female route is much more like that. I mean, I'm squiggling.
Yeah, okay. We're going up and down.
Down. So it's not the same. But so there are some similar things that happen in the body, and different hormones release different gases that cause things. I mean, it's quite interesting, but I don't think you need to know all that stuff to have sex.
No.
Really. No. And actually, a lot of the research into the human sexual response cycle, which was originally Masters and Johnson, you know, the original sex therapists.
Yes. TV show about them if you want to get clued up.
Masters
on
of Sex is really good, actually. I really. John Martin Sheen's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
like
really
him.
Good. Yeah.
I like Martin Sheen.
Yeah, shame.
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah.
Sorry, I said, yeah, because I've just said his name, Martin Sheen, I went, yeah, shame. My mouth just made that. That's really weird. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, dear. Where were we? Oh, yeah.
I mean,
a lot of it isn't correct.
Oh, what? Marston Johnson?
Well, I think what people have extrapolated from right. Masters and Johnson, some of it is not correct. I mean, there's been bits and pieces of research over the years, and I think a lot of it has been discredited.
Yeah. Well, because Masters and Johnson sort of, I mean, this is one of the things that I remember about them, is that they used to sort of stick things to them and monitor their bodies
stick
and their
things
responses.
To them.
Well, what's the word?
They used to have people having sex in the lab.
Yeah.
Including themselves. They had
yeah,
sex
well, that's
in
the
lab.
Big one. They had sex with each other.
With each other. But only for the purposes of research. But then they later on got married and divorced.
but this is what I mean. So it's sort of like, no wonder the findings have been sort of discredited since. Because,
well, no,
you know.
I mean, there are all kinds of funny things that they did because of the environment. In those olden days, it was considered quite rude and quite naughty to be doing sex research. So they had a battle on their hands. Never mind doing it in a lab, but as if you could do that now. You know, you couldn't.
Oh, no, exactly.
But they wired people up and they looked at what their hearts were doing. They looked at secretions and things like that. And they had this enormous glass dildo thing that they called Colossus. And there was an exhibition a few years ago that I took my students to. And we had a guide that took us around and showed us all this Masters and Johnson paraphernalia. And it was amazing. It was like, oh, my God, I am in the presence of the genii.
Of the four fathers and four mother of,
that's
amazing.
Amazing. It was really amazing.
You know what? Maybe for this person, if they want more episodes and more on the biology, all I would say is, like, have they listened to the intro of the podcast, though, where I say, we don't want to hear about the biology, for God's sake. We want real, practical advice. And you don't need to know about all that rubbish, as much as Mum enjoys it, to be able to have a lovely, fulfilling sex life.
Mm.
Thank you, though, for messaging in. And they've all said thanks to us. But let's have a question, and the big question of today, which I think is a really, really interesting question. So thank you so much to, Woman22. Straight question mark?
Ooh.
Love that. Love that.
I like that. Yeah.
And they say, hello. Two O's.
Hello.
First say, thank you for this amazing podcast. That's very kind. I've been listening to it since it came out. Wow.
Wow.
It really helped me to remove this taboo view my Latin family has put on the whole sex topic. I have a question. I'm in my first relationship and it's a straight relationship. So of course, our main concern is pregnancy. I've been giving a lot of thought to what type of contraceptive we should use as we think condoms isn't enough. I was on the pill for a year due to really painful cramps and, at the time, I hadn't had penetrative sex. But that whole experience sucked and I would not like to be on it again. For the case of an IUD, what's an IUD?
Intrauterine device.
And what is that?
Coil.
The coil and inserted in the vagina? Uterus?
Well, in the uterus. It goes through the cervix and there should be a little string hanging down for taking it out again. But it basically, it stops pregnancies implanting.
Wonderful, thank you. So, for the case of an IUD, I've heard it hurts to get it and I do not wish to go through pain. I have no idea what to do. What is an option that won't affect me hormonally and is still extremely effective? Also, I have this paranoia that pre-cum can get you pregnant. Is it true?
Yes.
P.S. I don't know how to send a picture of my lunch, but today I had chicken and mushroom, empanada, and dessert, two plums. All my love from Spain.
Well, there's a sexy dessert, isn't it?
Two plums. Excuse me.
Yeah. Ooh. And empanadas. Lovely.
What are they? What are those?
Little pastries. Lovely.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we love that. If you want to send us a picture, please, we're at the RSC Pod on Instagram. So do send us a picture there. We would love that. And we'd share it for everyone at home as well. Should we just nip the pre-cum thing in the bud now? Just get that squared away.
Well, that you can get pregnant from pre-cum. Of course you can, because it's got sperm in it.
It doesn't usually contain sperm itself.
Well, it can, the odd one.
Yeah, and it can carry the residual sperm from the urethra with it.
Yes.
So that's why round twos, you know, if you go again after having cum, then they're very dangerous.
Oh,
well, I say very dangerous, but they're more
very
dangerous.
But it's always possible, because you can always get the odd sperm. I mean, it's not like loads and loads of swimmers.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is really unlikely as well. The other thing to know is that sperm need other sperm around, because they produce hormones. So some of those swimmers, if we're talking about the biology, some of those swimmers could never penetrate. They wouldn't be able to. They're just there to help the others out.
My God, dying for the cause. That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've only got a few in the pre-cum, it's unlikely anyway. But don't take the risk, because it can happen.
Don't take the risk. And the way to get around that is condom up, and condom up early.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Absolutely. And there are femidoms. There are female condoms.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's something to think about and look into, because I think a lot of people don't even know they exist.
Yeah, I know. I mean, awkward. A lot of people like them if they've got herpes and they're in a new relationship, or if they've got an outbreak or something like that.
Mm.
I would never advise having sex during an outbreak, but, you know.
Purpose,
other types of things like Dutch cap diaphragm.
Yes.
Which covers the cervix.
Yeah, so there's this like reusable device inserted into the vagina to block sperm from reaching the uterus.
It just sits. I mean, you have to have it specially fitted, and if you lose weight or gain weight, then you have to get a new one, because they won't fit tightly properly if you don't.
And you put that in a few hours before having sex, or when you think you're going to have sex, and you take it out about, like, I've read online, it's about 6 hours.
Yeah, a few hours later. Yeah.
Afterwards. Yeah,
so people can, I mean, you know, in the olden days, we're talking about them a lot lately, but in the olden days, people would go into the bathroom before they hopped into bed and pop it in, and then in the morning, take it out, give it
a rinse. Really? So this has been around for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
I mean, before the pill.
Yeah, yeah. So the pros of that, no hormones involved.
No hormones, no.
That's great. They're reusable.
And a lot of people use a condom and the Dutch cap diaphragm. I mean, you can also get hormones that kill the sperm that you can add on. And I mean, I think there's usually a spermicide inside the condom. Yeah. But I mean, if you wanted to add another something into the vagina, you know, belt and braces.
Yeah, I definitely think doubling up could be one of the options here with all of these things.
But
I
mean, don't double up the condoms, because that makes them less effective.
Putting two on
is not a good idea.
Double bagging. Do not do that.
Don't
you
do
can
that.
Do that with your bins, but do not do that.
Yeah, don't do it with
your, don't do it with your
condoms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so it's a good point, because some people wear a condom and use the withdrawal method, withdrawing before they ejaculate, which obviously using its own, we would not
recommend it.
We would not recommend. And obviously people use condoms, and like you say, with extra spermicide and stuff. But just back on the diaphragm, cervical cap, barrier methods like that, the cons are, which I've found online, is that they are less effective than other methods. If done perfectly, like Mum says, with the fitting and all that sort of stuff, and with the right hours before, right hours afterwards, it's about 88% to 94% good.
Yeah, they're still pretty effective. And if you think you've made a mistake, there's always the morning after pill.
Yes.
But if you use them with condoms as well, if you use both, they're really good. The Billings method is the other one. So natural methods, so that you check your vaginal secretions. So at the time you ovulate, they're usually very stretchy and like egg white. And when you're not fertile, then they're much more like white and thick, like cooked egg white. Maybe.
You
know, thick stuff.
So is this, I think this is like fertility awareness method. So it's sort of like you track your cycle, your body temperature and your cervical mucus, like you say.
Yeah.
And then, and you avoid sex on the days where you're going to be fertile.
And you avoid sex on the days when you're fertile. So the thing is, though, sperm hang around. Sometimes they sort of go to sleep for a little while. They can hang around until you ovulate. So you can think, oh, well, I haven't done this on a... I mean, because the actual time when you're ovulating, you only have a few hours. And the window that people have varies enormously. But even if you do only have a few hours, if you've got sperm hanging around... in there, then they can jump to it at the appropriate moment. So you really, really do need to give it a really wide berth, that fertile period.
Do you know anyone that's done that? Because I've heard of people on Instagram and stuff being like, oh, I've got this app and I've been doing all these things and I've been following my fertility and when I can have sex and when I can't. And the problem is with it, I suppose, is it does take a lot of work. You've got to be really serious about the tracking and stuff. And
I don't know if it takes a lot of work, because once you know what you're doing, you've only got to look at the mucus.
But and apparently take your temperature and track your
the mucus is the most important. I mean, obviously, it's important for people to know when they had their last period and that sort of thing. And with being absolutely belt and braces here with the temperature and everything, but so many things affect your temperature that it bothers me, that bit.
Yeah.
Of it.
But this can be successful then.
But no, it can. And people often use it to find their fertile time as well. So it can be very helpful if you're trying to get pregnant.
Yeah.
But imagine if you're using it with a condom, it's extra protection, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, 100%. And actually, for this person, that sounds really good. Mm. And in fact, we could even triple up here, because you could go condom, condom withdrawal and this, or condom cup and...
I never trust withdrawal. I mean,
even with a condom on. Yeah. No, I don't trust withdrawal either. What I'm saying is, if you're really worried, then use a condom as well.
With a condom.
Do that with a condom. That would seem insane.
It's more likely you'll break it if you're pulling it out quickly like that. It's more likely you'll break the condom.
Put it out slowly then.
Also, stop talking about withdrawal. It's a horrible thing to do. I mean, talk about spoil the fun.
Yes. You know what? I think there's loads of people right now being like, preach. Absolutely. Damn right. Damn right, Kate. You're just saying it how it is. Like, say it louder for the people at the back. You're absolutely
and
right.
And also, if you talk about withdrawal with a condom, which is really unsafe because it can pull the condom off or break it, I would say that people will think, oh, well, I can try it without a condom then. I can just withdraw because I'm good at it with a condom. Yeah, and how well does that go, folks out there?
Yeah, not so well.
Not so well. Good. So don't do that. I mean, and bear in mind that women are at their most horny when they ovulate. So if you're feeling really horny, probably don't have sex.
Yeah, isn't that one of the cruelest things in the world?
Well, no, so but cruel. Probably don't have intercourse. I mean, you can have...
Oh, you could... Oh, that's a good point.
You know, there are all the other sorts of sex you can have.
Yeah, yeah.
But just,
which really
just
are good
intercourse.
Fun. Very much worth checking out. Yeah, really should give those a go. Just a quick word, because I know what they said about the copper IUD and, the device that is inserted. And... the pros are it's really effective and it lasts ages. It can last up to like 10 years, I think. Obviously, it's also non-hormonal, so none of the stuff...
Well, some of them are hormonal.
Yes, but you can get the non-hormonal ones.
Yeah.
And the cons are, of course, I've heard first-hand accounts of people who've had it and they were like, it wasn't so bad getting it put in. I've had first-hand accounts where they were like, it was horrendous. So... if this person doesn't want pain or even the idea of it. And also it can apparently make periods worse, heavier bleeding.
Oh, you could get much heavier periods. And and it's also getting it out is a problem. And think about it, if you leave it there for 10 years, there's also, sometimes they lose them.
What?
Yeah. And
say that. They're terrified. I literally heard it.
Oh, well, no.
People listening to this.
Well,
wow.
You always hear the horror stories and they're the really unusual ones. So it's not normal. That doesn't normally happen. But, it has been known, and also for people to not be able to get it out. So if you want a pregnancy and you can't get it out, that's a bit more difficult. Or if you can't find it, because sometimes they've come out by themselves. That's the other thing. But it is very, very unusual for those bad things to happen. But they're the ones that we hear about, aren't they? They're the ones that everybody tells everybody about and says, oh, it's awful, it's awful. Some people do find it horrendously painful. Some people say it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
if you're worried about the pain, don't risk it. And there are other things. And I mean, condoms are pretty effective. They are pretty good if you're careful with them. And if you're also careful not to have intercourse when you're feeling horny, really.
And you know what?
Particularly horny. You know, and when you've got, you know, egg white mucus.
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, all these things are worth looking into. And actually, do you know what? Just on the IUDs that you're talking about, the ones with hormones, apparently, on my own research, but please, what we would always say with this person is consult your doctor and a medical professional first. But I understand that the ones, the IUDs that do have hormones, that hormones are more localized and they're actually a lower dosage than the pill. So the effects aren't, you know, full body and all that sort of stuff. So obviously, though, those are with the caveats of it could be painful putting it in, it still includes hormones, and those aren't with the parameters that you've set for us. But I think talk to your doctor, and I think you've got lots of options. And but really, condoms are pretty good. Let's really start from there.
And, go to a contraceptive clinic though, because they're experts. We're not experts in contraception, so you should really go to a clinic and get the advice direct from the horse's mouth, and they really, really will be helpful. They know exactly what they're doing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that is a pretty good piece of advice. Let's try and give equally good advice to this next person when we return after the break. Welcome back to The Real Sex Education. We've got another question for you from a lovely listener. And this person says, "Hello, Kate. Hello, Dig. I'm having the following problem. I am not sure if it's normal. Recently, I feel like my erections are disconnected from my feeling of arousal. For example, sometimes I am playing a video game or in class and I get a boner, even though I am not aroused at the moment. And then I am watching some porn and my boner seems to be kind of hard soft, even when I'm very aroused. I'm a little worried it might fail me in the day I need it. You know, in my first time. Ja-ja-ja. Mum did what I think it's Cuban food for dinner. It is called ropa vieja. Very tasty."
God, that sounds lovely.
"I'm 15 years old, straight male from Brazil."
And he also adds that the age of consent is 14 in Brazil.
Now, I added that because I just wanted to allay people's fears when they were like, what the hell are you doing telling a 15-year-old boy? I was allaying the fears because I want people to... Because, listen, I think it is good. Actually, friend of the podcast, Justin Hancock, has the website Bish. Bish is for 14 and over. I think it's good that people are listening to and thinking about these things and listening to us. Isn't that great that they're listening to us?
It is great. And it's also great that he's saying he's preparing.
I think that's brilliant. But I think some people would listen to that and be like, there's a 15-year-old messaging in. I'm like, well, listen, mate, he's from Brazil. He can have sex now. He's choosing not to. And actually, instead, he's listening to our podcast and talking to us about Ropa Vieja. And I think that's really good.
How wonderful.
What is that? Let's look that up.
Yeah, I know. It sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, the picture's wonderful. Okay.
Oh, have you found a picture?
Ropa Vieja is a dish with regional variations in Latin America. It normally includes some form of stewed beef and tomatoes with a sofrito base. Wow. It looks kind of, it's giving pulled pork to me, kind of, in some of these pictures, but like a tomatoey pulled porky vibe. We're looking at some peppers in there as well. That's very nice.
My mouth is watering now.
Okay, let's answer this question now from this lovely 15-year-old straight male from Brazil. So they're having erections and they're striking at random times. They don't seem connected to their arousal. Random erections are common, are they not?
Then this is completely normal, especially at his age.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to worry about at all. And I mean, you will feel, you feel disconnected anyway if you get bored. Because, I mean, there's some stuff, you're watching the same thing over and over again, or you're doing it, I mean, or you're distracted or whatever, that happens. Several things to know. You don't need a really hard erection for vaginal intercourse. You do for anal sex. You can orgasm with a limp penis. You can be aroused and not appear aroused. You can be not aroused and have a really, really amazing boner. It is just, it's just one of those things. And hormones are playing a big part at your age. And it's your body practicing, really.
Really? Yeah. Is that what that is?
Yeah, some of
it's
it.
It's because you're going through puberty and your body's like, well, this is, that's interesting.
I mean, this whole thing, you know, the thing of going into your son's bedrooms in the morning and saying, come on, get up. We've all been there.
Oh, right. And the son's like, Mum.
No, I'm not getting out of bed.
Not getting out of bed yet. Yeah, give me 5 minutes. Yeah.
And, you know, but there are all these random times when they appear. I mean, I remember when I used to come home on the bus when I was a little girl.
Oh, right. Thank God. I thought you were going to talk about us then. I was like, fuck.
No. Oh, I'm bothered about you. Come home on the school bus. And there used to be all these boys that would sit with their satchels on their laps.
Oh, dear.
Or their duffel bag on their lap. And we used to say, why do they always sit with their duffel bag on their lap?
Yeah. And then, what is a duffel bag? Oh. I'm letting Satchel go, like Indiana Jones just sat on the fucking bus with you, by the way. We'll let Satchel go to one side.
Or but briefcase. What's a duff- or,
what?
Or
why have backpack. They got a briefcase?
So these well, they used to in my day.
Really? They, kids with a briefcase.
Yeah.
They get absolutely slaughtered.
They have backpacks now, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that's more like
but
it.
But a duffel bag is like a backpack with only one string on it sort of thing. It's got drawstring to
I think.
So a lot of people keep their sports kit in there.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so they've got them on their laps, covering up their raging boners.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, so then my friend said, guess what? I found out why the boys have their duffel bags on their laps.
That's not.
And we didn't believe it.
No, it probably wasn't true. This sounds like the exact kind of dirty rumour that spreads around a school bus.
I think it was
true. Why were they all hard?
After that, the bus juggling about. After, it was very bumpy. It's very bumpy bus going through the Angel.
Yeah, streets of North London, yeah.
Yeah. So it was very bumpy in those days. Anyway, the thing was that we started then really, really, really peering at them when they stood up.
Oh, my God, this is so bad.
And it was true. Well, and also they were getting off the bus holding things in front of them as well. So, I mean, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a crazy school bus, and I'm so glad that the olden days aren't now.
Well, it wasn't like the school bus that you used to go to school in, which was a coach, it wasn't a bus. You know those old-fashioned buses that go along the road, old-fashioned red buses.
Yeah,
that, you know, with an upstairs double deckers.
Yeah. Well, listen, that sounds
they're bumpy,
like really quite horrible. But let's.
Do you think that's reassuring, though?
I think that's the total opposite of reassuring. Oh. This poor boss is going to get the school bus in Brazil, and he'll be like, all the girls are going to be peering at me when I stand up with my huge erection.
No, because I've seen school buses in Brazil; they're not like that.
Oh, great! That's the saving grace here, right? Let's absolutely reel this back in. So getting erections randomly is great. In the morning as well, like Mum says, that means that everything's ticking along working normally.
Yep.
We talk about that a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So that's all good. So actually, this is a good thing.
Yep.
The sort of hard softness of the erection, we've sort of said, you know, erections aren't always the perfect indicator of arousal. You don't always have a super strong, hard penis when you're super aroused or vice versa. But do you think there's a part of the of overstimulation from porn? He's talking about it with the porn. Maybe it's like he's actually not that into what he's watching or...
Yeah, you know, and I think you can get bored. I think you can watch. Yeah. You can watch something so often that it loses its currency.
So maybe that's something to think about.
So that
as well.
Might have something to do with it. But I mean, I wouldn't worry about it. It all sounds really normal.
Exactly, because I think this is so normal. So what you don't want to do is get anxious about this, and then, like you say, when it comes to your first time, you're worried that you know you start getting performance anxiety, and then it does become a problem. Because right now, everything you're saying is so normal. So you're going to be absolutely fine.
And talking about the first time, if you can avoid it, don't just leap into bed with someone at a party or something. Just get to know somebody and fumble around behind the bike sheds first.
Yeah, exactly. And really take it slow and be present and enjoy it and not be focused on your performance or, you know, whether you're hard or whatever. Just
yeah,
have
learn
a nice
together.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, and, that's, and feel that's the feelings. Best way.
That's exactly it. Mm. Wow, wonderful. Well, we clawed it back there at the end, back from the horrible stories of your youth, which we all, I think, would never like to hear again. Ladies and gentlemen,
edit them
please...
out.
It's far too late for that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, our lovely non-binary folk, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And we will see you next time. If you're following, if you're subscribing to wherever you're listening to this now for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.